in the end. Now, I want to speak to you on 3 points today. Number one, the spirit of Antichrist. Number two, the falling away. And number three, endures to the end. Now, everybody likes beginnings. At least we think we do, right? When you bought that new car in the beginning, it was awesome. Amen? And then you drive that car, and eventually in the end, you traded it in, or you sold it, or you shot it and threw it in the junkyard, whatever, you know. In the end, it's not always as good as in the beginning. But then there's a flip side to that. Sometimes the end is very good. And I'm talking about for the Christian. At the end of every Christian's life, the end is good. And so the Bible talks about the beginning and the end. And I want to speak to you about the life of a Christian and the life of the church today. I want to speak to you about in the end, the spirit of Antichrist. Again, this is 3 points I want to speak to you about. And I want to speak to you about the spirit of Antichrist for just a moment. Now, what does Antichrist mean? Antichrist means anything that is against Christ. It is against the teachings of Christ. It is against the ministry of Christ. It is against the love of Christ. Now, it is so important to understand this, because Christian, you have a spirit in you that is not Antichrist, but it is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ. And so, Christian, you will be misunderstood in this world. All your friends that knew you before Jesus, before you knew Jesus and walked with Jesus, your friends will no longer want to be your friends, so to speak. Or they'll entice you to do things that you used to do that would lead you into drunkenness and depression and fear and anger and, you know, on and on and on and on. There is such thing in this world known as the spirit of Antichrist. And there is a thing in this world known as the spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that the world cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, because it's foolishness to them. They are disconnected from that. And so the world is not going to understand what we do, Christian. The world is not going to understand our worship. The world is not going to understand our responsibility to God and our responsibility to each other as Christians. The world is not going to understand these things. So when you allow the opinions of the world to come into your life, Christian, there's going to be a fight, a struggle, because you're allowing the spirit of Antichrist to try and influence the spirit of Christ in you. And see, the Bible says that we do not battle with flesh and blood, but with powers of darkness. See, in the church this morning, there are people that will come into the church and they're mad at the pastor because the pastor said this and the pastor said that. And sadly today, a lot of times pastors say foolish things. Okay, and I've said so many times in this church that if I ever say something that you may take the wrong way, you need to talk to me, you need to call me, you need to come and visit with me. Because that's the way things are supposed to be done. Amen? Yeah. Not gossiping, not talking behind people's backs. And you know, that is what the enemy would want us to do. And so the spirit of Antichrist would want you to get to look at things that do not exist. You know, look at what's bad. Look at what could be bad. Look at the bad scenarios of life. Look at all of this. Look at all that. And then the Spirit of God is working the total opposite. You know, having the Spirit of God in us, we're supposed to hear things and see things and accept things by faith. By faith. And so what I spoke about a moment ago in our worship time, by faith, from beginning to end, our worship is by faith. And so our faith is under attack this morning, our faith in Jesus. And if our faith in Jesus is attacked and destroyed, then our faith in everything else will falter as well. Because if we don't get Jesus right, then we can get nothing else right in life. Now, I'm coming to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 John 2, 18 through 19, John says in this, he says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. John is giving a revelation here. He's saying that Antichrist, meaning people that have the spirit of Antichrist in them, they have came from the church in John's day. Many of them came from the church. They had received the truth of God, but they came from the church, and somehow Satan must have got a hold of their faith, got a hold of their understanding of the scriptures, and perverted it and twisted it. And so these people no longer had a prayer life. These people no longer had a childlike faith in the scriptures and in Christ. And they began to become perverted in their spiritual thoughts and everything, and it gave birth to them making foolish things in their foolish choices in their life. And so eventually they left the church and they became agnostics. They became atheists. They became, you know, they started their own denominations and their own churches. And from that time, when John wrote this, till today, that has been the vicious cycle that has happened with people who have the spirit of Antichrist. Again, Antichrist means against Christ. And there are so many people that have the spirit of Antichrist today. And most of them most likely came from the church. Not all, but most. And John says that it is the last hour. Well, he wrote this, what, maybe 1900 years ago? A lot of years have passed, John. You sure it's the last hour? The Bible says that a day for us is like 1,000 years for the Lord, and 1,000 years for the Lord is like a day to us. Meaning our understanding of time and God's understanding of time is totally different. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So just because this was written 1,900 years ago does not mean that, you know, that, oh, this doesn't exist or apply to today. It applies to today. We are in the last hour. At any moment, Jesus Christ can come back for the believer. You know, we're on the verge of a world war once again. You know, I spoke to one of my young, you know, Connor, and we spoke to Tristan, and you know, they're being told in the Marine Corps to prepare for war. They're being told this. Now, I know in the military you're all supposed to be prepared, but they're being told some pretty serious things. They're being told to prepare for war. And so, how much more the spiritual war that we're already at? There are antichrists out there. John says that there are many of them, and that the antichrist is coming, the final antichrist. There is going to be one who is going to gather all of the minions of Satan. There are so many antichrists in the world today, but there will be one who will rise above them all. And the Bible says that he will bring forth a one world order. So many politicians and leaders have called out for this. Just this past week, many leaders from all over the world gathered together and spoke about how to bring the world under one flag. And Elon Musk was in the meeting by satellite TV, and he told everybody there, he said, hey, I think this is a bad idea what y'all are trying to do. Because if we all come under one order, civilization is gonna collapse. Did you hear that? Google the story. God is even using an unbeliever to speak truth. Because the Bible says that the Antichrist will bring the whole world under one order, and it will fall. So as kings are preparing for war today, leaders, politicians have been for so many years are bringing, through the spirit of Antichrist, are bringing us all into one flag. Currencies all over the world are failing. The American dollar is being devalued more and more. Saudi Arabia is banking on Russian money now instead of American money. It's all being set up to where we are going to eventually come under one currency, one religion, one leader. It's happening. It's being set up before our very eyes. Well, Michael, I just want to hear how Jesus loves me before the Bible tells me so. Well, you know what? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 that those who receive the words of the prophecy of this book and receive it, that they're blessed. I want you to be blessed. And that's why I'm speaking this end time message to you. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. Do you see how it's ridiculous how people who love to drink Bud Light, they get filled on Bud Light, but yet they're mad because there's a transgender person on there. And so Jesus said that a nation divided against a nation, a kingdom against a kingdom, divided against itself cannot stand. You're having people who love to drink beer arguing about transgender people on there. They're all on the same side. But Michael, what are you trying to say? People who drink beer are going to hell? No, I'm not saying that. But I can almost guarantee you that people who get drunk and have a lifestyle of drunkenness, they don't know Christ. They're not forgiven of their sins. I'm not judging them. I too was a drunk once. But you have to come to a knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross. He came to set the captives free. And in American culture today, drunkenness is one of the greatest addictions out there. Yes, Paul says, you have freedom to do what you would do, drink a glass of wine, but the life of a Christian is not about what we eat or drink. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about us not being a stumbling block. That's what the life of a Christian is about. And when the Bible says, don't give a foothold to the devil, when you allow the things of the world, the traditions of the world to come into your life, you got to ask yourself, is the spirit of Antichrist attached to that? Am I allowing something to come into my life that could possibly destroy my life? Am I allowing this? You know, these movies that Hollywood makes today, it's always been like that. Since the inception, since the 1920s when they started making films. The church has always been in an uproar. I asked Miss Faye, you remember when Elvis came out? What did the church say about Elvis? She goes, oh, they didn't like Elvis. And today we would say, oh, well, Elvis is not that bad. I mean, it's old school, right? I mean, it wasn't that bad. That's what we would say today because we're so desensitized by sin today, meaning we're so used to sin. That now we can go to some movies and a little cursing ain't gonna hurt us. It's okay, that's just the way the world is. When as for the Christians back in the day saw Elvis the Pelvis, they were like, oh my goodness, demon. We've been desensitized. And look at what we have today in society. In our team meeting today, this morning, that one of them brought up that you can't escape this lust that's there. It's in the TV commercials. You turn on the TV and there's the lust right there. It's right there before your very eyes. You see women dress provocative. You see men with their clothes off. I mean, you have your little kids in the living room with you and you're changing the channels and they see this stuff. It's everywhere you go. You see it in real time when you go to the beach. It is so much skin everywhere. And all of this is attached to is the spirit of Antichrist because Paul says, let us dress modestly. Modestly meaning not causing attention to take someone's eyes off of Jesus. Adultery and fornication is breaking up the home greater now more than ever before within the church because we're giving attention to these things. In Matthew 12, 25 through 31, Jesus knew their thoughts and Jesus replied, Matthew 12, 25 through 31, says, and Jesus said, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is cast out, if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself, and his own kingdom will not survive. Demon can cast out demon. That's what it says right there. Demons can cast out demons. You know why? Look, let me tell you something about a man I once knew who could see so far into the spiritual realm, it was mind-blowing. He said, Michael, I had a vision. And I was walking, and I came around the corner of a building, and I saw demons speaking. And I came back and hid myself, and the demons go, shh, shh, shh. And he said that they were conferring and they were talking with each other. And their plan was to overthrow another demon to take that territory. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? He's like, don't think I'm crazy. Those who know me know me. No, I'm not a crazy person. But Jesus says here, verse 26, and if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself, and his own kingdom will not survive. Will Satan's kingdom survive? Yes or no? No. Why? Because there is even warfare within his own kingdom. When a house of a mama and daddy, brother and sister and all that, when there's strife in the home and they're divided against themselves, who is behind that fighting? Who? Who? Yeah. Satan. Why? Because that is what his kingdom is about. And if he causes that in families, that is even caused amongst his own demons who serve him. And so when you see ministries and so-called ministers out there operating in supernatural things, it could be demonic powers at work as well. Jesus gives this incredible revelation here. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, and if I am empowered by Satan, what about your exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. See, because they were accusing Jesus of casting out demons in the name of Satan. If you read it into context, that's what he's saying. And he goes on to say in verse 28, but if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And we know the truth. Amen? Verse 29, for who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. If we confess to be a Christian and yet operate under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist, we are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. If we claim to be a Christian, but yet are operating under the spirit of Antichrist, we are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and that can never be forgiven. If we are not operating in love, if we're not operating in the spirit of unity, if we're not operating in these things that God calls his children to operate in, we could be in danger of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, quenching the Spirit of God. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, there will be those on the left who said, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do incredible things in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. Today in the pulpit, there are more ministers under the spirit of Antichrist than under the spirit of Christ. And you have to have the gift of the Holy Spirit to discern that. Amen. 2 John 1, 7 says this, a duplicate and deceiving spirit is the Antichrist. Look, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, we're not at battle with flesh and blood, but there are people in this world who deny Jesus has come from God, who deny that Jesus has come in the flesh. They deny this. We're not at war with them. We're not to talk evil of them at all. But we have to understand that they operate under the spirit of Antichrist, because the Bible says they're an Antichrist. But what do we do with such people? We love them, we pray for them, but we are not willing to have anything to do with them in regards to that special relationship that should be reserved only for Jesus Christ. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. There is so much into that. You know, it is a duplicate and deceiving spirit. There are so many of them out there. They've gone out into the world and they speak against Jesus Christ. They are a deceiving spirit. Look at 1 John 2:22. The end. It talks about the Antichrist is a denying and destructive spirit. 1 John 2:22 says this. And who is a liar? Who is a liar? Question mark. Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies that the Father and the Son is an Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son, who denies the Son, they are an Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. They are an Antichrist, meaning they are against Christ. They have the spirit of the world. They have the spirit of Satan. That's why when you become a Christian, you become reborn again. You are no longer under the influence or the power or the control of Satan's kingdom, but now you've been adopted into God's kingdom, into God's family. Now you are reborn again, and that's what Jesus says in John 3:16, that you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are reborn again. And what does it mean to be reborn again? Repent of your sins, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, follow Him all the days of your life, know that He died and rose from the dead physically. He died on that cross and He rose from the dead physically. He paid for sin for you. Now you know this, right? But why is it that we still allow the spirit of Antichrist to come into our homes? We still allow the spirit of Antichrist to come into the lives of our children. This happens. And you see the spirit of Antichrist all in this world. It shouldn't cause you to have fear. It shouldn't cause you to have doubt. And it shouldn't even cause you to lose your joy. Amen? Look, my wife and I, we hold on tight to each other. We hug each other. We pray with each other. We're best friends. But my wife and I, it's just us and Jesus. Because what things that our family is going through, things that people that we love in the church that they're going through, if we allow such this turmoil to affect even in our faith, then we're lost too. You got to stay focused on Jesus. Amen. You have to stay focused on Jesus. The war, and I'm talking about the spiritual wars you're going through, they're going to get tougher and tougher. But I'm telling you, God has done a great work in you. Do not fail God, because God will not fail you. It's in His power that you go forward. It's in His power. It's in His glory that you stand firm every morning and you say, I will not be moved by the spirit of Antichrist. I will not be moved by the fears in this world, by the things that grip the hearts of the people. I belong to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to get worse, my friend. It's going to get worse. There are antichrists out there, and there are liars out there. And somebody has to stand for truth today, but with love and with compassion. And that person is you, Christian. You. Do not compromise the Word of God. Stand on what the biblical Word of God says. It has endured for thousands of years. Many kings and queens and emperors and dictators have tried to ban the Bible, and they're all dead and gone, but the Word's still here. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a place where you should say amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. In John 8, 43 through 45, Jesus says to the unbelieving people, look, He says, why do you not understand my speech? Question mark. He says, because you are not able to listen to my word. Now listen very closely. Listen very closely. This is a very important passage. Jesus is asking the people, why are you not able to understand my speech? This is New King James Version right here. Why? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Look what he says. Watch. He says, because you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Ooh, no wonder they wanted to kill Jesus. Jesus was telling the people who would not believe in him, you are of your father, the devil. Does that change today? People who do not believe in Jesus, they are of their father, the devil. But you're not at war with those people. You cannot go into HEB and Walmart and say, you devils! You heathens! Repent! You cannot do that. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. You're going to lose people. And whoever claims to be a Christian and does that, I mean, I don't see the love of God. You know, to call people to Christ, it begins with a prayer life. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a love for all people? See, because the Bible said, for God so loved the world, he looked at a world full of liars and devils, and God said, I love them, and I'm going to go down there and save them. Though I see the spirit of Antichrist in the whole world, I love them. Can you match that? I believe you can, because the spirit of Christ is in you, Christian. You can look at this world today and say, look at all the mess that's in the world. Lord, how do I love them? Because you love them. Lord, help me to love society the way you love society. And at the same time, you cannot compromise the truth of the gospel. You see, a lot of people in the church, they want to do that. Well, I'm going to love the way Jesus loves. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when you come across the issue of abortion, and you come across the issue of sexual morality and transgenderism, oh, Michael, those are political topics. You shouldn't talk about that. No, those are biblical topics. We will talk about those things. Just because people live in those sinful lifestyle, you should still love them. But at the same time, you love them enough to tell them the truth that that's wrong and that that has no place in the family of God. That, listen, has no place in God's kingdom. That does have a place in Satan's kingdom. But when you talk about God's kingdom, that doesn't have a place in God's kingdom. And you need to ask yourself, Christian, what kingdom are you truly representing? Because you cannot say you're the kingdom of God and yet trying to appeal to the kingdom of Satan. You cannot do that. And Jesus flat out said, look, back it up. John chapter 8, verse 43. Look at this. All of what I just said, John 8, 43. Look, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. So when we go out there and speak the Bible today in society, and they don't want to hear it, and they just say, oh, you're a religious zealot. Oh, you're a bigot. You're a homophobic. Oh, this and that. Oh, you know, you got to get with the times. The times are changing. Well, the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Amen. So when we speak the word of God and the society doesn't want to hear what we have to say today, it goes back to this, verse 44. You don't want to hear the word because, why? Look, verse 44. Because you are of your father, the devil. And you'd rather rejoice and live in lies than in the truth. Now look, go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. This is a scripture that's just was not there today. And I'm going to take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. New King James Version. For verse 11 and 12. You got it? Give me a thumbs up. You got it? All right. Verse 11 and 12. Look, what I just said, Jesus said, you cannot understand what I said because you are of your father, the devil. The devil rejoices in lies. And so people who have the spirit of Antichrist, listen, they rejoice in lies. And so for 2,000 years, God has been trying to bring humanity into the truth. Listen, this scripture I'm about to read, it applies to the very end of the church age. Actually, let's back it up to verse 9. 9, 10, 11, and 12. I'm sorry. Verse 9. It says, the coming of the lawless one, meaning the Antichrist, the final Antichrist, the coming of the lawless one is in according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Now watch this. Listen, please. If the Antichrist is going to come and perform powerful signs, lies, and wonders, it's already happening in churches today. Now, I believe that a Holy Spirit-filled minister can cast out demons and heal the sick today, because Jesus said that's what we're going to do. But there is so much perversion of it today going on. Now, watch me. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lies and wonders. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God is going to say at the end of the ministry of the Antichrist, the final Antichrist, the Lord is going to say, because I've worked and been patient with humanity for 2,000 years, when the Antichrist comes, the final one, God is going to say, I'm going to let you believe the lie. It says that they will believe the lie. God will allow them to believe the lie. This final Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to speak a lie. And you know what this lie is? It's going to say, the Bible says it, that he is going to confess to be God. Now, artificial intelligence is really big in the news. It's been big for a long time, but it's getting bigger even now. Government, our government is actually talking about making laws on artificial intelligence. You want to know why? Because it's scary. There was a famous podcaster that I'm not too familiar with the story, but AI experts did a podcast of this famous podcaster, a whole segment, and the whole time it was a fake. It wasn't real. So these people have the ability to take Jason up at the pulpit to say a speech and get him to say anything and everything, and it really wasn't Jason. And it looks so real. And people will buy it and believe it. And so when this final Antichrist comes and he speaks the lie saying, I am God, we're being set up because we're already easily deceived. Because you loved, look, verse 10, and with all unrighteous, verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Meaning that the people who are perishing have been amongst unrighteous deception. Because they did not love the truth. They did not love Jesus. Because they had the spirit of Antichrist, they loved lies. Verse 11 again, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the Antichrist, the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the time for you to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you have to transfer from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. You have to hate lies and love the truth of God. Period. That's it. That's it. Second Corinthians 11, 14 through 15 says this, that he's a disguising spirit. It says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You hear that? Do you see that? Do you see that? Satan has ministers out there. People who look like an angel of light, who appear to be righteous and holy, but they have the spirit of Antichrist in them. And that's why I stress from this pulpit, you have to know Jesus for yourself. You have to know what the Bible says. You have to have a prayer life. You have to be a legit Christian. Do you know how to lead somebody to the cross of Jesus? Why not? Aren't you a Christian? If you don't know how to lead somebody to the cross of Jesus, it's because you yourself have not even been led to the cross of Jesus. Because look, women, you're guilty of this. Don't throw nothing at me. Okay? Okay, Jessica? Don't throw nothing at me. But when the husband and wife are in the car and they drive someplace for the first time, and they go home, leave, and then they're going to go back there a second time. How many wives remember how to get there? Raise your hand, wife, if you know how to get there, if you've been there once. You do? Oh, Proverbs 31 woman right there. Most wives are like, I don't know. Right? And the husbands are like, you were in the car with me when we went. Don't you remember? Right? I remember one time me and Anna, we went to San Antonio. This was like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't know. And this was before we had this, so it was longer than that. And we had a map. And we're driving, we're trying to look for this thing in the south of San Antonio. And I'm like, man, I'm lost. I don't know. I've never been here before. I don't know where I'm at. Anna, where are we? And she's like, she pulls this map out. I'll never forget it. She pulls out the map. She goes, we're right here. Right here. This is where we're at. And I look at the map, and I'm like, wait a minute. So I look. I saw a something that said South Star something. And it was a mall. And I'm like, so I look at the south, and I see it. I'm like, oh, we're down here. We're not up there. She was pointing to the north of San Antonio, and we're in the south of San Antonio. And so my point is that if we've been to the cross, we know how to show someone. We know how to lead them the way to the cross. Because you've been there. And it was such a powerful moment for you that it was real. And so you know how to show somebody to the cross because you've been there and you're still there. You go there every morning. You wake up and you get into trouble. You get back to the cross. Get back to the feet of Jesus. You know how to get to Jesus. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? I hope you do. The falling away. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let me speak to you about the falling away real quickly. Again, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says this, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, capital D, day, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. The day of the Lord will not come until the falling away happens and the Antichrist is revealed. Look, this. What is the day talking about? It's talking about, it could be talking about the rapture. It could be talking about the second coming of Christ. We really don't know. But the Bible says be prepared in season and out of season. So what does that mean? This is what that means. We've already seen a falling away. Amen? What you have to first belong to something to fall away from something. These people once belonged to the church. What does our very first scripture in this teaching say? That many antichrists have went out from amongst us. So a falling away has been going on for a very long time. But even now, today, the churches worldwide are experiencing a falling away like never before in the 2,000-year history of the church. You get what I'm saying? And so the Antichrist is on the verge of being revealed. It may be this today, tomorrow. It may be in 20 years. But it can happen in the twinkle of an eye. My opinion, I believe the church will live a certain period into the rule of the Antichrist. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong on that. But be prepared for persecution. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this. This is the falling away. Paul says, now the Holy Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons and deceiving spirits are in the church today, sadly. This is what the scripture says. Paul is saying, not right now, but in later times, this will happen. We are in the later times. We are in the latter part of the church age. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says this, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and they will chase after myths." A lot of people don't like sitting here at this church. You want to know why? Because they don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear proper biblical teaching. That's why. They want to hear what their ears are tickling, are being tickled to hear. You know, this is a Bible preaching, teaching church. That's what Grace Christian Center is. It's a Bible preaching, teaching church. Because as a pastor, I am geared to help you learn that if the government says that we cannot meet anymore like this, churches are outlawed, because it's already happening in other nations. Don't think it won't happen in America. That if that happens, that Pastor Michael did all he could do to help you learn how to lead and conduct services wherever you gather. That is my job, to teach you. And you have to be taught these things, because the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." Because these guys were raised up knowing Jehovah God. But when they saw Jesus, they thought they could pray. But when they saw Jesus pray, they said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." Because their way of doing things was totally different from the way Jesus did stuff. And that's what I'm trying to tell you right now. I don't know it all. I'm not perfect. But I do hear from the Lord too. And I'm just doing my little part to come alongside you and your families to help prepare you that if hard times hit the United States of America and we cannot gather, you knew how to pray. You knew how to touch Jesus. You knew how to lead somebody to the cross of Jesus. You knew how to love the sinners, because you were taught these things by the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Revelation 2, 4 through 5, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, when you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Jesus is telling the church, "I have a problem with you. You've abandoned your first love." Who is the first love? Jesus. If you don't have the right love with Jesus, your love can't be right with anybody else. If your marriage is failing, it's because your relationship with Jesus was failing first. And that applies to everything else in life too. If it's not right with Jesus, it cannot be right with anything else in your life. The Bible says God is love. Amen? And if you don't have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you don't have the love of God. And so therefore, you cannot give something that you don't have. If you don't have the love of God, how can you love people properly? You must have the love of God in order to give something, because you've received something. Amen. Matthew 24:10 says this, "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people." Are you reading that with me today? Matthew 24:10 through 11. "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people." In context, Jesus is talking about the end of time, the end of the church age. And that is what we see so much of in the church today. I said Friday night that about my opinion, about 85% of churches are in doctrinal error. I think I was a little too extreme on that. Let me drop it down. I would say 80%. I'm just, because I go and I listen to other ministries. I listen and I listen. I skip around across the nation and listen. And it's not the gospel. It's not. Now, I know I'm not perfect, and I'm frail and I'm weak, and I mean that. But I'm telling you, the gospel of Christ has always been spoken here, because God is true to his word. Now, before we close, I want to help you to understand how to endure to the end. Matthew 24, 12 through 13. Look, soak these words in. In Matthew 24, 12 through 13, Jesus says, and because lawlessness will abound, meaning, and because sin will be greater towards the end of time, and because lawlessness will abound, meaning, and because sin will abound. Do you think sin has abounded in the last 10 years in society? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many people will grow cold. Because when sin grows more and more in your life, when sin grows more and more in society, the result is a cold heart. You have no care for people, and you are no use of God. Even if you say you're a Christian, you're no use of God because you are growing in that sin, in that spirit of Antichrist. Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And we should never lose that attitude. We should never lose that drive that we should love these people to the cross. But Jesus says this, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. You walk with Jesus till the end. Amen? Amen. Hey, let's go smoke that dope. Hey, let's go run with these wild girls. Hey, let's go over here and steal a little bit of this money over here. Hey, let's go rob this. Hey, let's cheat on our taxes a little bit. Hey, let's go, let's talk bad about these people. You know, whatever it is. Hey, I'm just going to keep hating God. Whatever it is. Walk with Jesus and you'll endure to the end. Amen. You may not understand everything that Jesus is doing along the way, but just keep walking with Him. Amen? I woke up this morning, said, Lord, I just don't understand. I just don't understand it, Lord. I don't know why, Lord, this is happening. But I'm going to keep walking with You. Amen. Because I know what it's like to stop walking with You. And that didn't work out too good for me. Revelation 2:26 says this. Jesus says, and he or she who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to them I will give power over the nations. Amen? Right now the nations, they're ranting and raving against the body of Christ. But one day God's going to bring His power and authority, and He's going to set you up, and you'll be rulers and kings and queens and priests forever and ever because you love the Lord, because you love the truth of Jesus. Luke 21, 17 through 19, Jesus says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, meaning the whole world will hate you. People who have the spirit of Antichrist, people who are in the kingdom of Satan, that they will hate you for the name of Jesus. He says, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. You have to persevere. Keep walking with Jesus. Endure to the end. Fight. Jesus taught us how to fight. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He said, oh Lord, this is the only way that they could be saved. Is there any other way? Is there any other way that this cup can pass from me? Father, is there any other way to save these people? Okay, Father, there's not? Okay, I'll go to the cross. Jesus taught us how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Jesus taught us how to believe. When everyone was saying no, and God said, yes, go, win, love, serve. We have an example in Jesus Christ to do what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. In Luke 21, 17 through 19, it says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Again, but your head of your hair, every head of your hair will not perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Amen. And our last scripture, 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9. It says, now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have every gift you need. Christian, you have everything you need to endure. You have everything you need. Look, verse 8, He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for He is faithful. Look, verse 9. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? God is faithful to do what he says he's going to do. You have to believe in him. He is a good father. He's the eternal heavenly father. He knows what you need, when you need, and how you need it. The problem is, we don't always believe him. Do you believe that God can deliver you today? Do you believe it? You know, I remember one time that, you know, tithing's for the Old Testament. You know, we're not supposed to tithe. Tithing's for the Old Testament. And here's what I got to say about that. Give what God has put in your heart to give. And you know what? It's going to be greater than the principle of tithing. I remember one time the Lord taught me a lesson. I got a big bonus one time at my job. And that tithe was supposed to be $800. And I'm like, man, I need that $800. But I'd gotten a big bonus. But man, I could sure use that. I'm not going to kid you. I'm going to be dead honest with you. In that week, my car broke down. My refrigerator broke down. I mean, and then I had all these checks that I overwrote that bank draft fees kicked in. And I ended up on the short end of the stick. And you know what the Lord said into my heart? He says, why you stop trusting me? He says, I'm going to get this out of you. I'm going to teach you a lesson. You see, it's not that God was after the tithe. It's not that God was after my money. God was after my faith.
That's right.
He was after my faith. And I learned a powerful lesson. Give and it shall be given back unto you. And that which is given unto you is to be a blessing to others. And I'll always speak of this till I'm an old man. If I live to be an old man, I'll always speak of this. When I stood right there, as this man showed me this building, and he says to me, I cannot rent this out to you. And I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not in a position to buy. We're a little church. And he says, no. Not going to rent it or sell it. All this has been given to you in your ministry. And I said, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves you. And so when you learn to give to the Lord everything, your time, your talent, your treasure, and you endure to the end, you're going to see the miracles of God all the time. Because he loves you and he knows what's best for you. You see, the devil's not expecting Grace Christian Center to do anything because we're such a small church. There's just a little group of us here. But we serve a great God who's the greatest of all time. Muhammad Ali thought he was the greatest of all time. He's dead and in his grave. Jesus rose from the dead. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, and he's coming with vengeance and he's coming with judgment. And there is fire in his eyes. And there's a resolve in his gut. And when he comes, there will be a sword that will protrude out of his mouth and he will strike down the nations. And for those who hoped in him, who believed in him, who called on him, they will be before his presence day and night. No more death, mourning, sorrow, pain, no more tears. But you have to love righteousness. You have to love his holiness. You have to love the truth, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen.